Galaxy Audio presents Devil's Manhunt by L. Ron Hubbard. Chapter 1. Desperation Peak rises green out of 6,000 square miles of parched Arizona desert. A deceptive and deadly lure. It has game, streams, and gold. But it also has an entire barricade around it, an unbroken ring of white alkali deserts, burning and acrid, waterless and uncrossable at any but the coolest season of the year. Thus protected, Desperation Peak long retained its treasure. Like an emerald set in the center of hell, the price was high for its taking. Tim Bechtold had nearly died braving the pitiless wastes, but his adventure had been rewarded. Once across the alkali sinks, he had reached the tumbled canyons, clear springs, and wooded slopes of the peak. He had lived on venison until his cartridges had all been used. Then he had kept his soul encased with body by snaring rabbits and birds. He had worked and wandered alone in this virgin, desert-isolated fastness for 8 months before he had found the rich placer. He had no salt and no flour. His clothing was a ruin of faded ribbons, and he needed many things to work a claim. But to undertake another trip across the sinks and return, particularly at this season of the year, was unthinkable. Even his Jenny had died of the privations endured in coming here. Tim Bechtold did not ask questions of himself as to how he would get it out. From the moment he struck it, all his attention was for the gold. In 2 or 3 months it would rain, then he would leave. Until then, he was a castaway, clinging to an island upon a scorching sea. He would cash his wealth and leave it to await his return, would bring back a mule train to take it outside. The discovery of this ancient creek bed was such that 3 months of labor had netted him slightly in excess of $175,000. A few more weeks of work would exhaust the placer, then he would rest and wait for the November rains so that he could leave. At 14, Tim had gone wandering across the West as a boy of all work under the most indifferent masters, a runaway from a home that wouldn't have him. He had learned prospecting in 2 heartbreaking years under the absolute tyranny of old Scotty O'Rourke, who had outlived 3 partners and had tried to outlive Tim. The world-weary youngster now saw himself as a successful young man. He wanted a ranch of his own, fine horses to ride, and the wherewithal to influence the unkind. At 23, he had it all within his grasp. Now and then he would straighten up, limber his back, and gaze ahead of him. But he was not seeing red rocks and pines. He was seeing ranch houses, thousands of cattle grazing, white horse fences, and himself in fine clothes. It was an innocent dream. At 4 o'clock on the afternoon of July 13th, it was shattered entirely and utterly. A shadow fell across his sluice, and Tim stopped, not looking back, but staring at the reflection in the cold blue gleam of a Winchester barrel. The first words he heard bit deep. They were indifferently, even wearily, spoken.
"Wait a minute, Sven. Don't kill him."
Tim held on to the sluice box to keep his hands from shaking. He turned carefully until he stood leaning against the rough, hard slabs, water curling around his ankles, sweat growing cold on his face. The man called Sven was rendered even more huge by his standing on the bank 2 feet higher than the water. He was shaggy, with matted hair. His clothes were nondescript and slovenly. His face was big, with small eyes. The other man was seated on a rock. He was young.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?